1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 to 23. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good Sunday, brothers and sisters. First of all, I would like to apologize if time to time I coughing, because during this week I have get some, a bit cough. So time to time, if you hear something, apologize for this. So today, the part of the preaching is about is the last part of the chapter number 3 and verses 18 to 23. This part, before working together with through these verses and talk about these last verses of the chapter 3, I would like to remind you which kind of church is Corinth. During the, I was trying to refine, praise the Lord to give me this opportunity, I was trying to refine the preaching, and I was interested to check about Corinth, if there are other references to this passage, or how Paul, Apostle Paul, went to Corinth. And I saw in the Acts of Apostles, chapter 18, there is a chapter that is called Apostle Paul in Corinth. And in this part, we can see that Paul was called by the Lord for ministry to bring the gospel to the people in Corinth, not only to the Gentiles but also to the Jews. However, he found some opposition from the Jews, and when you feel something attacks someone or you, and you feel like a bit disappointed or things, there are challenging about that going on in his ministry. Probably Corinth was is interesting as a city because is used to be known as a city of immorality, impurity. There is a melting pot of cultures and religions there. There are gods of Egypt and Romans and Greeks there. And there is also one temple of the god of love, which were inside their practices spiritual prostitution. So it's a city where there is a lot of immorality and purity over there. And this is fascinating because this looks like our world, the world where we are living, the world where that sometimes we see around chaos and things that and people that a lot of immorality and things that are not going through the what Jesus is teaching us. So although there are some opposition, the Lord God during the night He spoke to him and said, "Don't worry, I will be with you. Don't stop to speak. Don't be silent, but speak to these people. Keep going." And indeed, and he said also, "I will be with you, and no one will attack you to harm you." Indeed, even there were some authorities, Gallio was proconsul in this land. he didn't judge him at the end. So convinced of the presence of the Lord in this midst of immorality and things, he was serving and bringing the word of the Lord among the Corinthians. And the fact is that Corinthians spent roughly 1 year and 6 months with them. Many Corinthians start to believe and start to convert. So they convert to the Lord. So he spent 1 year and six months there. And so that tells us something, that this church is not old, so it's pretty young. This church, indeed, if we see the first part of the chapter 3, we see how Paul addressed this message to them. He said, "You are people of the flesh, infants in Christ." Well, on one side, we see that it's pretty young, the church. On the other side, as we are young, and I don't know you, but I was called from the Lord around 10 years ago. Anyway, I'm still young, I'm feeling that every day by day, I'm learning. And the thing is that one lesson that we should learn, we should grab it in our in growing spiritually with the Lord, is that the flesh must be put apart. In all, whatever when we deal with the Lord's word and in understanding, we should put apart our human righteousness, our human understanding, and let the something divide, which is Holy Spirit, to come in our soul to speak to us. It's true that there are ministers, so in the church, so God uses people, of course. But we should not look at the man himself, so not look at the righteousness or the wisdom of the man, but instead to keep going and growing and let the Holy Spirit to come to us to grow our faith. So what the situation here happening in this church in Corinth is that the fact that they act as a believer who seek refuge in the man, in the skills or abilities of the leaders. They delight, they have a contentment among the men. Their human wisdom looks like persuading them to reflect the light of someone else, while they are called to reflect the light of God. Let's think about when we are in this church. He's talking about there are groups, there are divisions. So it's quite obvious that this church is not spiritual mature. When there are contentment, when there are here speaking about quarrels, contentions, believer who boast to belong to the group of Paul, other to the group of Apollo and Silas. So there are divisions. And this division comes rightly because of the interest, the fact that instead of reflecting the light of God, we have tendency sometimes to go to the men, to the people, to try to find a refuge in them, to try to be content with the men. Instead, it's the Lord himself that nourish us with his word in our life, day by day. So we will see on one side the wisdom of the men and the wisdom of God. So the consequence to follow the wisdom of the men, and the consequence instead the miracle and what's expecting us, waiting for us, following the wisdom of God. The message start is very strong. Let no one deceive himself. Apostle Paul wants us again to remark this fact that it's by grace, it's by the revelation of God in us, that his word can grow in us. For instance, if you look at us, it's true that when we, at the time of our conversion and in our growth, we heard the Lord's word, spoken by other people in the church, in our life. So the Lord used the man, but it's by his grace that the word reached our heart. It's by his grace that this word and is growing and revealed to us who we are. It's not because of him that, for instance, is revealed that we are sinners. It's not revealed to us by his grace that, for instance, we are loved. And it's love that cannot be replaced by a human love. So it's something that extraordinarily is revealed to us by his grace. So when we speak about the true wisdom, we have to look at the things that are coming from him only. The message is about that only by his grace, God's grace, poured to us, that we can understand his word, not by man's work. And so now the Church of Corinth is called to stop using the flesh to comprehend things which are divine. Our flesh is mortal and cannot do anything. Instead, the flesh is the cause of obstructions, obstacle to the word of God. Indeed, let's imagine a church that is divided. How can the word pass through? We are called to be united, one body, and together to encourage each other. To encourage each other with this word, and to let the word smoothly, and let the word flows like a river in our life, like something that give us that joy, the spiritual joy, that contentment that is divine, that is spiritual. Therefore, Paul is encouraging the church to get rid of the flesh. Well, actually, the flesh, we are still in the flesh, is useful, of course, because we are in this world. But the meaning is that when it's about the Lord and about growing with the Lord, mature spiritually, we have to welcome the Spirit of God, who will make us, and so the Church of Corinth is this case, able to receive wisdom, that spiritual food, the spiritual solid food that the Apostle Paul speaks in the beginning of the chapter 3, which is a food, which is a deeper knowledge of God, which is that perfect application of his teaching in us. And that is the solid food that also our Pastor Paul was talking about, is something that is deeper in the knowledge of the Lord. So today we will see together that the message of Paul can be summarized in 10 words. Then, if you can put, we see the man wisdom leads to nothing, and God's wisdom, which is Christ, and we will see also in the scripture that is talking about Christ, how refer to God's wisdom is everything. We can start from the first part, from the verse 18 and 19. In this part, there is an encouragement to let to become wise people before God. And as an illustration, and as a simple example that I could find that the Lord helped me to find in the scripture, we can recall the example of, something that we shouldn't follow in the scripture, is the example of how the wisdom of man can contribute to the sin, to the dead. And this is an example of Adam. If we see, and look to me that we must carry out to grow spiritually, we must carry out that action that Adam didn't perform. So apply wisdom of God by trusting him. In the Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam believed that eating fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not dangerous, couldn't lead him to death, as God had told him. He challenged God in this way. he acted as if God was wrong about the fruit and not omniscient. He acted according to human wisdom. And all of this is a foolishness for God. This way to act against God, which is disobedient, has provoked God, who has catched the wise Adam in his craftiness. And how will God punish Adam? To Adam he said, because you have eaten of the fruit of the tree about which I command you not to eat, the ground shall be cursed because of you, and in pain you shall eat of it all days of your life. And then, going forward, you will eat bread with the sweat of your face until you turn to earth from which you were taken, because you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We see here the application of foolishness of the man. A man that doesn't trust God. A man that doesn't listen to him and obey. How foolish can be a man when, how foolish I can be when I look at the Lord and tell him something and I argue on something which is providing for me. There is no way to argue on something that is coming from God, because we know that is true. And the way Adam here is an example of how foolish was the way of thinking of the man in this case. He even in this way appeared that he acted as God was not trustful, or someone who doesn't have truth in his hand. Instead, his God is our creator. So, by a mixture of man desire, righteousness, together with the temptation, the consequence was that he acted in disobedience with the Lord. And so the consequence of this action was the dead in the world, the sin. From Adam, we see the entering of the sin in the world, which is dead, and the logic of competing with God, of believing and practicing an alternative way. What is established by God has become the basic of human wisdom. Search for conquest, power, and pride. So, alternative things. The Lord, the world where we are living, because of the sin entering the world, is pushing us to use this human righteousness to see the thing around us with the eyes of the man only. And so what happens? That we use this human wisdom comes to us and causes division, as in the church happening in Corinth. So Paul wants instead to encourage us not to follow the example of Adam, not to become wise for the world, but fool for the world by appearing wise before God. And so therefore, do we think that we are just lost? We are just lost in this foolishness, in this man righteousness, because just we are flesh? No. We are not lost. Or we would say that we are lost if we think that we can count on ourselves only. Instead, if we look at the Corinthians chapter 1, letter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, it said, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. We see an answer here. While Adam is a man, and his man wisdom revealed to be folly by leading to death, Christ, who is God, is wisdom of God and leads to life. We see also the verse 23 and 24 of the first letter of Corinthians, chapter 1. But we preach Christ crucified, an obstacle to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. So, On one side, we see the entry of the sin in the world. We see the foolishness of the man. Do we have a solution for this? The Lord provides a solution for this. Yes, and is the wisdom of God, which is in Christ. So, following Jesus, listening to his teaching and applying it, it allowing us to make us able to grow spiritually, to have maturity. And if we look at the, we have an illustration, stronger illustration about application of the wisdom of God. How is it possible to apply this wisdom of God in our life? We look directly to Jesus. We look directly to the gospel, to his teaching. And in Matthew chapter 4, we see there is an opportunity to see how Jesus applied the wisdom of God, what he can teaching us in this way. There is an example here during the temptation in the desert. Jesus was tempting here in the desert. He was he was not eating for 40 days. And so Satan came, evil came, to tempting him. And he told him, change this stone. Replace this stone with the bread. We see here how Satan is still using this, the foolishness of the man. We see here how instead Jesus replied to him, applying the wisdom of God. If we look at the, for instance, when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, we can't wait to take a food, take a fresh drink. And we don't realize that many actions that we make is based on our flesh, basically. What Jesus said in this, how he answered with the scripture when Satan told him, asking to change, to replace his bread, because he knew that he was hungry. And he said, man will not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here we see how he's applied the wisdom of God. He's applying the way that we are not here for living in the flesh. The purpose in us that God is calling us is to grow and to live by the word of the Lord. The word of God, which is the only component in our life that make us able to grow and have reach after our temporary life, eternal life. Indeed, it's not the bread itself, it's not the flesh itself, it's not something material that make us worthy. But it's about God himself, his word. We see also another example of how still Satan is attempting him to push on the side of the wisdom of the man. The side is about to glorify him, basically to worship him. And so in replacing, he will have as a reward all the authorities, all the thrones, and everything. It will be your, he said, Satan to God, to Jesus. But instead, Jesus answered him, go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. We see here, again, the application of the wisdom of God. Jesus answered him, I don't need this glory. This glory belongs to this world. My glory is in the heaven. We are Christian, again, to exercise this wisdom, but ultimately it's the Lord that provides for us an understanding, a a revelation in our heart that is not something physical in this world we need. It's His word only that make us able to receive this reward, which is the glory at the end of our life. And so when we look at all these things, when it's clear for us this concept, we are able, because the Lord and His grace, to walk through the step of the wisdom of God. And we see that our flesh will be falling apart while His presence in our life will keep us stand and will be shown to the power, will be shown to others, not for our desire or our pride, but for pleasing Him and to bring a message of the Lord to others who are in need of this knowledge, who are in need of looking at seeing in this world that the eternal life is only by Him and through Him, and to see how to apply this through Jesus. So Jesus rejects this flesh, this mortal glory, which is evil, which belongs to the flesh and please only the man. Instead, He leads us to the true glory, having eternal life and share our inheritance with God. How? Worship the Lord your God, and He only shall you serve. So, one side we see Adam, the other side we see Jesus. We see Jesus is loyal to God, the Father, against disobedient, and as we know, it is faithfulness, is that faithfulness that brings Jesus to die for the plan of the redemption of the world. The plan that the world, by using the logic of man, cannot comprehend. The wisdom of the man, instead, indeed, is unable to understand this plan that we see, because we are now, the Lord revealed to us this, the plan of sending His Holy Son to be on the shape of a man, physical body, and to go and die for us. This is something that no man can understand. But because of revelation, because of the beauty that is behind, which is waiting for us and His glory, this is revealed to us. And so, the message of the first point is then that to become foolish is to become foolish to the world and wise to God. How? Believing and follow Jesus, trusting in His Spirit in us, that His Spirit will teach us His word, who testify, who testifies in the gospel. So it is present in the gospel. We see here a reference of the promise that Jesus gave to us regarding the all teaching, the all nourishment of knowledge that is for us. In the scripture we can find here in John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Our Heavenly Father is not only just. We can see His justice in Adam, for instance. Since the beginning, Adam refused to obey, and the sin entered in the world, in the life. We see His justice. But we see that our Heavenly Father is also merciful. Indeed, He sent His Holy Son. By believing in Him, not only we are no longer condemned to sin and to the flesh, I mean, we don't desire anymore this flesh, but we receive eternal life, but also, as Jesus promises to us, we will continue to grow. It's not finished, but we are called to grow. Jesus promises us, we were speaking before about promises. We are not just here to hear the word of the Lord and just to believe. He is calling us for something more, to grow spiritually. And this is the first message of the Church of Corinth. It's the message that is very important to keep in mind in our church, in everyone. Because we are young, we are still young, we are maybe not anymore in the flesh, or maybe not drinking this milk anymore, able to eat, to receive the solid food, but we are called for something more. And this something more we can see is our sanctification. We can see that we are called for being ready for Him as well, or for something that to acknowledge Him, to bring, to reflect His light in our life, His light, and not the light of the man. We see indeed in the first letter of Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. And verse 4, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not God. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. If we see in our life, the spirit of wisdom teaching us to do the will of the Father, to be faithful, obedient. Thanks to the wisdom that is teaching us, we begin to be able to discern good and evil, to desire to do good, to be victorious against temptations, and to feel no longer subject to flesh and sin. We become men and women free before the logic of the world, the foolishness of the world, so as pride, self-pleasure, and possession. And we see already, we can experience already the wisdom of God, the glimpse of that everything which we will see in His complete manifestation after our earthly life. Now, this is for concluding the first part of the sermon. The second part is about the verse 20. It starts with verse 20. Now we can see that summarizing that the wisdom to grow and spiritually to grow and mature in God, we need to put apart our flesh and let Him grow by Spirit in us. There is now on verse 20 one consideration that we can, that Apostle Paul is addressing to the Church of Corinth. It's about the characteristic of the wisdom of the man. It's the futility. The Lord knows the thought of wise, that they are futile. It's extracted from the verse 94, the Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knows the thought of the man, that they are but a breath. We see here that in the Psalm is written man, and in 1 Corinthians 3:20 is the wise. But of course, they are the same. We are talking about man, wisdom, here. Futility, I mean, this word, the word futile, I don't know if I pronounced correctly, I'm sorry for this. In origin means vapor, it means breath, it means something that is vanishable, it means something that is not leading to, is not building something, is not building anything actually. It's not good for nothing, we will see. Well, it's something as a vapor, it's something that is vanishable, it's something that is going to be destroyed as well. eventually, this futility of the man's wisdom is something that leads to other sin. We see Apostle Paul talk about Psalm 94, and I would like just to mention this Psalm 94. What is about? The psalmist, the biblical study, refer to this psalmist. Some of the biblical study refer to the psalmist as David, but not everyone. However, this psalmist, the interesting things of this psalm, that the psalmist is waiting for a judgment toward those who are in disobedience with God, who are those who are causing threat to the people of God. We see in the psalm those who are wicked people who act against God, people, those who are murderers, people causing affliction, fools, generation of men with no fear of God. And this represents in one block, group of people who are not using the wisdom of God, basically are not loyal, instead are enemy of God. A second group of people we see in the psalm is about a group we see in the verse 12. People who are taught discipline by God, taught His law. The psalm is talking about this in the verse 12. Yes. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law. Do we remember about the promise of Jesus when He's talking about the Holy Spirit teaching us things? These are the people. These are the people who receive teaching from the Lord. And the message, why, if you ask yourself why Apostle Paul is talking about, is taking the verses from the psalm, is because of this. Is to warn basically the church of Corinth to not associate with the people who are fools, who are afflicting the people of God, instead to stay with a group of people who are disciplined by Him, who are blessed. The people who are in this group are those who the psalmist described, children of God. Indeed, in the verse 14 we see, "For the Lord will not forsake His people. He will not abandon His heritage." In verse 14. And in verse 22 he said, "But the Lord has become my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge." What is interesting here, that Apostle Paul is addressing a message to the church and also to us, that when we are associating ourselves to the wisdom of the flesh, we are still in the flesh, we may fall into temptation to come to the group of those who disobey Him. We are not called to this group. We are called to those who receive His blessing, those who see God as a refuge and a stronghold. And although we are a sinner, although we are in the flesh, we are still His children. And so we come to the Lord through Christ to ask forgiveness. But in our relation with the Lord, we continue to grow. We continue to receive that spiritual knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit to mature us for our sanctification, as we saw before, as a purpose of God in us, in our life. There is one illustration about this futility. Futility is about also lack of fear of God. Indeed, in the Psalm 94, the group that are associated with those who are against the people of God, who are enemy of Him, that are murderers and so on, are those who basically they just use their own interests, their own intentions. And there are intentions, these are intentions which are not based on, there are lack of fear of God, basically. They are just goes through what they want. They are not thinking about what the Lord is asking me to do now, or how can I be good for Him. And there is one of the illustrations that I was advised, actually, is talking about the fear of God, the futility, and the case of the situation where our action, if we base our things on the man flesh, may lead to sin, and it seems that is something that causes other sin. We see the story of David and Bathsheba. This story, I have to recall myself because I forgot some details. Is a story of a sin of adultery, which David committed to Bathsheba in the palace during the night. Bathsheba was a spouse, a wife of Uriah. Uriah was a loyal, honest, and trustful soldier of David, one of the best soldiers of him. And one night, because of his pleasure, because of man's desire, because of his own interest, and so lack of fear, what he did? He lay down with her. A few days ago, Bathsheba informed him that he was pregnant. And what David did, again, not only he committed one sin, but his strategy was to, this is what the biblical study agree together, is that he cover up his sin. Cover up his sin by setting up a plan to send Uriah home so that Uriah could spend some time with Bathsheba and could believe that that child was his own. In this way, David wanted to cover up something. In this way, the logic of the man was that to hide something, was that to cover up something, that instead of revealing himself, he caused other sin. In totally lack of fear of God. What happened to Uriah? It happened that Uriah was loyal, obedient, and as in the battlefield, it was they were enemy. I think the Ammonites. Basically, in the battlefield, the soldier said, generally, is not allowed to come back home to spend time with the family. He's there for the war, and he was loyal at the point that he refused to come back home. And so David set it up this plan to cover up again, to cause our other sins. He sent his commander Joab to set up a plan of Uriah dead in the battlefield. He said to Joab to send Uriah to the first line of the battlefield. The first line is the most dangerous line, where there is high probability to be killed. Indeed, Uriah was killed. Futility. Desiring his own pleasure, he wanted Bathsheba. What happens? What's the consequence? The consequence was that the Lord answered him under the prophet Nathan, and he said, I anointed you king over Israel and save you from the hand of Saul, I gave you your master house and your master wives in your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if this was not too little, I would have added much more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his eyes? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and taken his wife to be your wife, and killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, then shall the sword never depart from your house, for you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. We see how he's futile and the consequence of our of behavior, human behavior, man behavior, based literally on his own interest and desire and pleasure. We notice that without the fear of God, we can get lost in our plan. And Paul, in his letter to Corinth, it appears to me that he warned the church that building on man wisdom is building like those who make futile plans, those who build without fear of God, and will be led to judgment. Now, if we are still desiring flesh and keep acting as a man of the flesh rather than child of God, we don't just act under man wisdom, which is futility, but we associate ourselves with those who are enemy of God, who have no fear of God, who are wise in the world. Indeed, wisdom of the world is lack of the fear of God. We see in Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We still remember Jesus. Jesus, in the previous verses, we were talking about Christ, the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Without fear of the Lord, how can we apply? How can we be wise before him? Philippians 2, verse 12, it said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Fear of the Lord crossed the scripture many times, and it's one of the most fundamental ingredients in our faith, in our growing, in our spiritual maturity. Without fear of the Lord, we just reject. We are rejecting him. We are just convinced that on our plan is good, is right, and we're just doing what is pleasing us. But we are fearful of the Lord, we are pleasing him. Which kind of fear, just to clarify, which kind of fear is this one? Is the fear of Adam and Eve, who were afraid, and they hide themselves? It's not this fear. The fear for the Lord is a sense of responsibility, obedience, faithfulness to God's law, to commit to do the plan that he established for us, in each of us. So while we are, while in Christ, being the wisdom of God, the fear of God dwells in him as he made himself faithful to the Father. We have seen until now what the consequence of this wisdom of the man, what has caused. In the psalm we see condemnation, we see the wrath of the Lord for those who don't belong to him. We see punishment for those who belong to him. They are still elected like David, but still receive a punishment for this. He reminds us that Only through Christ is our answer. Only Christ is teaching. We can grow spiritually. The full application we can see in the gospel, like before we talk about the temptation in the desert, and many more. So why, what's for now boosting in the man? The main message now in the verse 21-23, we see what's for now boasting in the man. So let no one boast in man. Based on the outcome of Adam, we should already be familiar about the man. Wisdom is disobedient, opposition to God, lead to death and destruction. We are ourselves becoming an obstacle to the word of God to grow and nourish us. So the first point, the main point, is that Apostle Paul desired this. He wanted to shake a little bit this church. You are young. You are still in the flesh. You need to grow. You need to stand. You need to let the Lord come in your heart and let open yourself for the wisdom of the Lord. There is a glory that is waiting for you. Come and go. Don't stop. Grow. Because if we just step, in our flesh, if we just be distracted by just our flesh, we are very easily to be weak and to get apart from His plan for us. So His plan and maturity. Another thing, what the men are for. It's very important, the role of the man in the church, of course. The Lord is using people to bring the message. But the man should not be at the center. The Lord must be at the center. The man, if he's in the center, bring divisions, bring hate as well, because the people started to associate themselves with one group against another. There are discouragement. There are obstacles for the growing itself of the church as well. And also, what is important to remember, that when we are boasting of the man, on man, basically, we may fail in the temptation to humanize the word of God. The man himself, who is called to be a servant, probably not, because he might be loyal to deliver the message. But those who are followed might get in the temptation to be content, to stay, to spend the time with these people, rather to have a relation daily in the Lord and prayer. The message again is a warning for the church of Corinth, but also for us, to remember that all the achievement, all the reward, all the answer to our weakness, coming from by His grace. So all glory and honor must be directed to God, because man cannot do anything without His grace. We must submit to God. We must humble ourselves to Him, so that the Spirit of the Lord may grow in us, while the spirit of man fall from us. So that God's power may be more visible in our weakness. So that praise may be given to the Lord and not to us. We see when we glorify, we see when we grow as in maturity, spiritual maturity, we see our desire to bring glory to Him, to glorify God for what He has done in our life. We are full of joy and contentment for this. And we are not doing for ourselves. We are doing to please Him. Once the grace of the Lord has called us, we are not longer belong. We no longer belong to the world. As we are called to be His children, we belong to Him. We see the verse, 1 Peter. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. His own possession. You belong to Him. Jesus gave His life for us. The grace of the Lord revealed to us that we belong to Him. No one can take it us from Him. But we are called for sanctification, and the message of the Church of Corinth is this one, to let all of us encourage each other to grow, to help each other to grow, to be united as a church, to take away our differences. We might be different color, different nationality, different cultures, different roots, anything. But it's just belonging to the flesh. And it's not as important as our citizenship. We are same citizenship. We are children of the Lord. And so as United Church, as a message, in this message, we have to work together. We don't belong anymore to the man, to this world. We belong to Him. And we see what more He is about belonging to God. If we see in the verse 16 of Colossians, yeah. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Everything belongs to Him. So, once before we belonged to man, and our foolishness leading us to nothing, now with Christ, which is the answer, which is our wisdom, what is waiting for us? Everything. Because in Him, there is everything. In His, there is eternal life. There is our glory that is waiting for us. Which is the core, which is what is important for our soul to live. And not knowing the first death, but instead to just have eternal life. We then conclude that these 10 words of the message of today is man's wisdom leads to nothing and God's wisdom cries to everything. When we are talking about this everything, of course, as children of the Lord, we shouldn't boost ourselves. As well, we have also to be careful about this. We shouldn't put ourselves and say, I'm just a child of God, I'm more important than others. No, remember that how the Lord called Paul in the Corinthians, He called in this midst of immorality, in this midst of impurity, perfection. And He said, go on, speak, don't be silent. Because there are my people. If we see the Act of the Apostle, chapter 18, the Lord revealed to Apostle Paul, said, in this, there are people, in this Corinth, in this city, there are my people. So we are here as children of Him to grow together, maturity for sanctification, but also to proclaim His word in the world. not boasting on ourselves, but boasting on the Lord, that we may reflect His light in what we do. Yeah. Praise the Lord.